to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Divine Breadcrumb Podcast. I'm Carol.
Hi, this is Deb.
So before we get started, can I just say that I love our intro song? Shout out to Kevin Horan for creating this happy little ditty. It's funny because I remember telling him, I just want it to be happy, you know, a nice little friendly song. And basically, I wanted the music to sound like our tree logo looked, happy and friendly. And I think he totally nailed it.
Oh, he totally nailed it because I picture the tree dancing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. So thank you, Kevin.
Kevin.
And for anyone interested, we have Kevin's information on the credits page of the Divine Breadcrumb website.
And we should give Colleen a shout out. I know we did in our interview with her, but she did our great voiceover for that. And she did a great job. And we love it. Thanks,
Colleen.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes. Smooth sounds of Colleen Murphy, who we actually interviewed in podcast number 5. So if you haven't listened to that, check it out. Today, we're going to be talking about keeping promises to ourselves and discuss why this is often harder than it sounds.
Yes, this is something that I definitely, definitely struggle with. I have no problem keeping promises to other people. In fact, I pride myself on keeping promises to other people.
Exactly. That to me is very easy. And it's kind of this sense of integrity and it's the right thing to do. But why I can't always keep promises to myself, I have no idea. Because, you know, think about when someone has made a promise to you and then they break it, how let down you feel, how awful it is. And yet we do it to ourselves all the time.
Daily, I do it to myself. I mean, I think that maybe a good place to start is, why is it that we can keep promises to others? What makes that so easy to do? And I know for me, part of that is just, you know, it's my reputation.
Right.
I don't want that to suffer. I don't want to let other people down, and I don't want to be seen as not keeping my promises.
Right, absolutely.
And also, you know, I don't want to be humiliated. So definitely there's some ego there. I will admit that.
Nothing wrong with a little ego.
Nothing wrong with a little ego. Not too much ego, but a little ego keeps you in check.
Exactly.
But obviously that doesn't apply, I guess, when the promise is only made to yourself.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, because I would think that would be even bigger.
Right. And for our listeners out there, you know, over the years, Deb and I have talked about this subject many times because we've gotten into it. You know, whether it's, you know, eating healthy or, you know, I'm going to meditate, whatever it is, you know, we start off all gung-ho. And then when the day comes, you know, it's go time. Sometimes there's an excuse or, yeah, you know what, it's a Thursday. So, you know what, I'll start this Monday. That's my famous excuse. I'll start Monday.
Mondays are just such a start day.
They really are.
And I actually have a start season. It's September, you know, because that's when school started.
Right. I agree. I mean, I think people get really, not everyone, but a lot of people get all jazzed up to start things in January with the new year. And I agree. I find that September is a big change month for me.
Yeah, me too. And it's funny because both of us have been out of school longer than we were in school.
But
because that pattern was, you know, started at such an impressionable age, it just sort of carries through.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I do when I make a promise to myself is I almost threaten myself. You know, I think it's important when you're making a promise to yourself to come from a heart-centered space. Because, for example, I can't tell you how many times in the past I would make deals with myself like, you know, all right, I'm having pizza today, so tomorrow I'll have only liquids, which is so ridiculous. But I mean, not that there's nothing inherently wrong with that statement, except that it sounds more like a punishment. Right. Or sometimes I would literally swear to God that today I'll eat healthy, as if, you know, I'm going to be struck by lightning if I ate a potato chip. Like it really was like a punishing type of thing, instead of just honor this promise to yourself because it's something that's good for me.
Exactly. I want to sort of take a few minutes to talk about the idea, though, that when we talked about why we keep promises to other people, and the fact that when we don't keep promises to ourselves, it's almost like there's no fallout because no one knows but us. Mm-hmm. But that's not really true. There is fallout because it actually creates a lot of things in you. But the biggest one is that you have sort of this impression of yourself. You have these values and these ideas. And when you break promises to yourself, now they contradict each other. And that creates tension and stress.
Absolutely.
You may not really be super conscious of it, but when you do this, it starts to undermine all kinds of things. You lose trust in yourself. You stop relying on yourself. Then that starts affecting your self-confidence. You know, I know periods of my life where I've sort of been overwhelmed with breaking promises to myself, even just the way that I walk, you know, looking down to the ground, kind of slumped shoulders, whereas other times, you know, shoulders back, looking straight ahead, confident, move the way that I move. And it just over time does this real number on your personal power.
And
it takes all that away from you.
Right. I think and that's so powerful. And I think one of the big ones for me is losing that trust in yourself.
Absolutely.
And feeling like you've betrayed yourself and you would never do this to someone else.
Right. And then every time you go to make another promise to yourself, there's that self-talk like, oh yeah, right. Like I've done this before. Like I'm going to really do it this time.
Right.
So you've already given up before you even started.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what's also interesting is usually, you know, these promises we're making to ourselves are really for our own good. You know,
right.
You know, I think about, you know, probably in the summer I had started a morning routine and, you know, doing meditation and visualization and, you know, I was really gung-ho about it and I loved doing it. And then I kind of fell off the wagon and I kept telling myself, okay, I need to get back on track. I'll start Monday. Then Monday would come and I'd say, well, you know, I didn't sleep well, so I'll start tomorrow. And it's just amazing to me that something that makes me feel good, whether it's meditation or exercise or whatever, why do we put it off and not keep that promise? It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Because clearly any promises that we're making ourselves, they are for our best good, to better whatever that is. And meditation's a big one with me. I promise myself that every morning, yes, I'm going to meditate today. And then the day gets away from me and it doesn't happen. Or maybe it does one day and not the next day. And I know what all the benefits of meditation are. I mean, you and I have discussed this. We both have a lot of sleep issues. And if I meditate regularly, I sleep well. That should be a no-brainer. It doesn't involve pills. It doesn't involve intrusive therapies. I don't need a sleep apnea mask. There's no big, huge production here. It's like, be still for 15 or 20 minutes. That's it. That's all I'm asking of myself.
And right.
I just can't get myself to do it.
And I'm wondering if it helps when making a promise to yourself to really know what is the why. Why, if we really get clear about that and maybe even write it down or tell other people, you know, make ourselves accountable in some way.
Right. Although you and I don't keep each other accountable very well.
No, we don't. It's usually like, okay, this is our last hurrah. Let's have pizza. But, well, there is one time. So this was a big one for me. So after I left the corporate world and, you know, I knew I wanted to start something new, and this is before, you know, the Divine Breadcrumb was born, I remember thinking, all right, I should put something on Facebook that, you know, I've left my corporate career and I'm going to do something different. And I kind of hemmed and hawed internally and finally decided to do it. And once it was out there, you know, and I'm getting all kinds of, you know, lovely comments from people being supportive and congratulating me. And I thought, all right, now I really need to do this, you know, and right. That was so big that it really did help me to be accountable. You know, I think I was pretty driven, but I knew at some point I need to do a follow-up post on this. You know, not that probably exactly. Anybody else was thinking about it, but I was thinking about it.
Exactly. And it brings it back to that, you know, your integrity and your ego a little bit and some of those things that are a little bit more public.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the secret. But I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are sort of nodding in agreement. They've all broken promises to themselves. Or if they don't, please email us and tell us how you keep your promises.
Yes, please do.
But I want to talk a little bit about, think back to a promise that you made yourself fairly recently and that you broke. And how did it make you feel that you broke it? And I don't mean in a beat yourself up kind of a way. I mean, kind of in a, like, let's learn from this experience. And the one that, you know, since we've just passed New Year's again, 2019, I know in 2018, it was very important for me to one more time, get healthy, get fit, stay focused, eat clean, all of those things. And I didn't. And, you know, in the beat myself up way, I'm thinking, well, if I had just stuck to it, I'd be 30 plus pounds lighter than I was in January of 2018, rather than 10 pounds heavier than I was in January of 2018. And it's very hard to not beat myself up about that. But if we can put that aside, like, how does that make me feel? And of course, it makes me feel like a loser. But again, try not to beat myself up. So what can I learn from this? And maybe what I need to learn from this is that I need help. Like, I keep trying to do these things all by myself.
Right.
And I think that maybe that's a trap that a lot of people get into. You just try and take on these things. First of all, you make them huge. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm only going to eat chicken and broccoli every day, you know, and I'm going to work out at the gym for 2 hours every single day. And, you know, that's not reasonable. And nobody can live that way. You can't never have cake again. You know
Please.
What I mean? It's like,
seriously,
that would just be a bad life. I think that that's one of the things that you need to think about is what is reasonable, and think about it. And you hear this all the time. Think about it as a lifestyle, not as to get to a goal.
Right.
Just to meet the goal. And then I can go back to eating crap. Once I've lost the weight, I can go back to the way that I want to live. That's not how this works.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And then another thing that I struggle with is, there have been times of my life where I have been very, very self-disciplined, and other times I'm not. And it really is like this shift in the brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
What makes that happen? Why is it sometimes so, so easy to do these things, and other times it is the most impossible task to accomplish, no matter what? And again, I think that goes back to perspective and having support and having help and not just trying to take everything on all by yourself.
Yeah, so true. And I think setting maybe smaller goals that set you up for success.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, it's so common for us to say, you know, I want to achieve X in this amount of time. And if you don't achieve whatever this is, that's when all the mean self-talk starts in. So just having small attainable goals that build your confidence, And maybe even as you meet these goals, reward yourself. You know, I kept my promise. And, you know, in the case you're talking about, obviously not reward with food, but right. What else, whatever else, you know, massage or, I don't know, take a nap, whatever feels good to you.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I do. I think that, like we've said, people make these huge sweeping goals or huge sweeping statements. And I think you have to be, you know, keep it small, be very specific, and be very clear as to why. We've talked about meditation. So rather than I'm going to meditate every day, I'm going to say I will meditate every night before I go to bed so that I have a good night's sleep.
Yeah, that's a great way to look
at it. That's my promise to myself. Now, I did not say I'm going to meditate for 30 minutes every night before I go to bed. I might only meditate for 5 minutes before I go to bed, but I'm going to do it every night before I go to bed. And I know from experience that even the nights that I've said, okay, I'm only going to do a real quick one, just clear my head, clear my thoughts, and then I'll go to bed. So I think I'm going to do a 5 minute thing. And then all of a sudden it's been 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Even when I'm writing, because there's times when I think, all right, I need to get this done. I'll just write a page and I can stop after a page. But once you get into it, before you know it, you know, three pages are done. So it's, you know, kind of the same thing.
Exactly. And I used to play this game, Carol knows, for years because of some spinal problems that I had and hip problems that I had. I was very, very dedicated and motivated and spent many, many years working with a personal trainer. And it was a great experience. But I can tell you at least 50% of the time that I had to go work out, I didn't want to go. It's not like I just magically loved being at the gym. I still didn't love it. But the only thing that I had to do was drive there. That was the only requirement I made of myself. If I wanted to drive there and then turn around and drive home, that was perfectly okay with me. And I can tell you, it didn't even happen once. If I drove there, I worked out. So the workout wasn't the problem. It was getting to the gym that was the problem.
Right.
And as long as I made myself do that part, I was fine.
Yeah, it's just taking that step. I do have to tell a funny story. Deb and I, this was years ago. I want to say this was almost 15 years ago. And it just made me think of it when you were talking about driving to the gym. Deb and I used to take this yoga class years ago. And we had this yoga instructor that we absolutely loved. And he ended up leaving. And this other woman took his place. And she was really strict. And she was, you know, she was a twig and she could do all these poses. And, you know, mind you, this was a beginner's class.
And she was not like, I don't know what the word, it just wasn't yoga-like.
No, it was not relaxing. It wasn't Zen at all. And this is what it was. She eventually took over, but every once in a while, if our normal instructor, if he wasn't there, she would fill in. That's what it was. And so we got there and then, of course there's a window that you can look in and we saw that it was her and both of us looked at each other and thought, no way. And we took off and I think we just went to Dunkin' Donuts and
yep. Had one of our marathon coffee fests.
Yeah. So we drove there. We got there. We even got to the door of the room, but no.
That was an extenuating circumstance.
We just didn't want to. That was true punishment. We just didn't. That was an act of self-love. Yeah, because we didn't want to put ourselves through that, but you're right.
She was mildly abusive.
She really was. We used to call her the yoga Nazi because she was so strict.
Yeah, not at all relaxing or rejuvenating or any of the things that we did yoga for.
No, and I'm like, lady, I'm not that bendy. I'm sorry. This is a beginner class and I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can try. You know, we'd bend whatever leg or whatever, and she'd come over and try to correct you, which, you know, normally they're very gentle about trying to correct your position, make sure you're doing it in a way that you won't hurt yourself. And she's trying to, like, I don't know, it was crazy and it was not comfortable.
No, I absolutely agree with that. It was...
So sorry to get off on a tangent, but it just made me think of that story.
Yeah, I actually had the same thought when I was talking about driving to the gym. It's like, well, wait a second. We did leave yoga that time.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and then there was, well, if we're going to talk about yoga, we have to talk about hot yoga.
Yes. Oh my God.
So there was this yoga before we found the place that we ended up doing yoga. There was this other place in town that we went to check out, and they did what's called hot yoga. I know that there's a more yoga name for it, but those of you that are familiar of it probably know what I'm talking about. Now, Carol and I are both asthmatic, so heat and humidity is very difficult for us. So they offered a class, you could come and take a test class, and we walk into the room and it was so hot and so humid. I hadn't even started moving yet and I couldn't breathe.
Same.
And so the teacher comes in to start the class, and you know, these people clearly had been doing it for, I don't know, their lifetime, because they're contorting their bodies and I'm sweating and my arms are sliding off each other. And
oh, the sliding off the mat was terrible.
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. Let's just leave it there.
Well, and you know, we were kind of in the middle of the room and it was a pretty full class, and we kept looking at each other, and just the look in our eyes, we knew what we were saying to each other. How the hell do we get out of this room without making a scene? And finally it got so bad that we just left. And we just walked out, and he shot us a look. I'm sure he was not happy, but we laughed so hard when we got out of there.
Yeah. That was definitely not our thing.
Yeah, not our thing. Maybe that'll be a challenge to get out of our comfort zone at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could try that again. Maybe. We'll see. I'm sure there are other challenges we could come up with.
Well, and it's funny because you just used the word try, and I know that was something you wanted to talk about.
That is true. That I do. Specifically when you are making promises to yourself. You know, the great quote from Star Wars, Yoda's quote, do or do not, there is no try. Try gives you sort of the spiritual out. It makes it weak. And when I say, you know, oh, I'm going to go try Indian food, that's a different statement. Try in that sense means I'm going to sample it. So I'm not referring to that. But I don't want to say I'm going to try to eat healthier.
Right.
That just makes it not like a real strong, motivated, positive, clear statement.
Right. And it's not concrete. It's like saying, I'm going to try to pick up a chair. You're either picking it up or you're not picking it up.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you want to just be very, very specific what you're going to do. Why are you doing it? And then you want to make it a positive statement and not a negative statement. Instead of, I won't eat any junk food, say, I will make healthier food choices.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then carry the thought. I will make healthier food choices because when I eat healthy food, my joints don't hurt. And I want to have a healthy, pain-free body.
I love that. And it's putting those positive statements and affirmations out there. That's when I feel like the universe comes and conspires with you to help you. You've just put out this positive statement. And it's for your highest good, and in comes the universe to help you make it happen.
Right. I think the universe does test you a little bit. You know, do you mean it? Are you really going to do it? Like, you have to take a step.
Oh yeah. You have to take inspired action. And by inspired action, it has to feel good, because if you go in with an attitude of, well, this is not going to work. Well, guess what? It's probably not going to
work.
So have that inspired feeling when you're saying these things.
Yes. And keep it simple. You can work up to it. I'm going to work out every day. Well, maybe you can, but don't start there.
Right.
How about you're going to work out two times a week? You're going to go to the gym twice a week and do this workout because it's going to give me this benefit.
Exactly.
And then when you're loving that, add a third day.
Right.
Maybe 2 days a week is good for you.
Exactly. And if you miss a day, for whatever reason, don't get caught up in beating yourself up. Just, okay, tomorrow I start again. And that I think is the hardest thing, because once you stop something, you do tend to get into that, all right, I'll wait till Monday. And so it's really, you know, getting into a space of, I don't need to wait. Just, you know, there's no reason that to let everything go to pot. I miss one day. Let's just start again.
Yes, absolutely. And I can tell you, back when I was, you know, hanging out in the gym all the time, if I got a cold, you know, and I missed a week of the gym for whatever reason, because I, you know, I was just too sick to go, that first day back was always so hard.
Yeah.
But within minutes, I just get to the gym and start. And then I was right back into my routine again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really important. Another tip is join a like-minded community. I mean, a gym in and of itself is a like-minded community. So engage with the people there so that there's a social aspect. A lot of this particular gym that I went to, a lot of it, there was a real social aspect, and I didn't want to miss out on seeing these people.
Right.
That was a big part of it. Or if you decide that you want to start meditating, maybe you want to go take a class in mindfulness or meditation, surround yourself with people that are trying to do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing more energizing than being around like-minded people.
So true.
It's fun. It, like you said, just that sense of community. And some of this, it sounds obvious, but for me, it takes me a while to get there sometimes.
Me too. Absolutely. It really is. It is sort of amazing, because this makes sense. It's logical, but you just completely overlook these options or these tools that you have available to you to do some of these things.
Yeah. We're better at just bitching to each other about, you know,
we're good at that.
Damn it. I didn't start again, but
damn it. I didn't start again. Let's go get a pizza.
No, we did that last time. Let's get Chinese. Yeah. And this is the other thing, because Deb and I talk about this all the time. You know, I'm not going to pretend I don't love food. I do love food. And it's just really, you know, getting things under control and doing things in moderation. And it all goes back to why we're making this promise to ourselves, keeping it in perspective. It's not that you have to eat lettuce every day, all day. And just figuring out what the rules are for you. And it's going to be different for everyone. I know people that it's like, no, never. I'm not going to have sugar at all in my diet, or no carbs, or whatever it is. And that's what works for them. You have to figure out what works for you and what's going to set you up for success.
So true. Because you can't take on other people's methods.
And I've tried and failed every time.
Same here. Because it's hard enough to do these things anyway. And if it's not something that means something to you, it's just not going to work.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, oh my gosh, when I think about some of the crazy diets I was on, I remember in college, I had gained more than the freshman 15. It was quite a bit. And I remember the first time, and I hadn't even been at college very long. And the first time I came home, my boyfriend at the time said, "Damn, you got fat." Talk about wanting to just have the earth. But he thought it was cute. I didn't think it was cute at all. Right. And I remember, I think it was after, it was probably around spring break, my roommates and I decided to go on this diet where it was, and you might remember this one too, it was fruit the first day, vegetables the second day, fruit and vegetables the third day, bananas and milk the fourth day. Yeah. Well, I don't even remember what was past the fourth day, because I was such a raving lunatic from being hungry. And just, I mean, hangry wasn't a term back then, but that's what I was. And we were just raging bitches during that time.
Oh, I bet. Was that the one that had that? There was also some kind of soup or broth that you could have anytime. Oh,
it could have been. Now, I'll tell you, I lost 10 pounds in 1 week. Right. But I was miserable. But this is the stuff people will do to themselves. And it's just, it's just not worth it. There's so many better ways to handle things.
I agree. But unfortunately, like, I think it just takes us a long time to figure that out, you know, that it's what's the expression? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Right.
So these things are meant to be lifestyle changes that you continue through, you know, long term or for your lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else is frustrating, and I know you've had this happen too, is I'll do some eating plan that, you know, and it's a healthy eating plan. It's not some crash diet, and it really works for me. And then I get off course, and maybe let's just say a year later, I think, all right, well, that worked for me before. I'm going to try that again. And this time it doesn't work.
Right.
And I get so freaked out. Right.
Yes, that's happened to me several times. The other thing that happened, and this took, I'm not really quite sure that I'm over it yet, but I'm trying to be focused on, again, lifestyle changes. When I was younger, even in my 30s, because weight's been a struggle for me my whole life. And again, doing something healthy, eating well, eating nutritiously. And, you know, in a month, I'd lose 15 or 20 pounds. Now I could, you know, again, do something that's completely healthy, good for my body, and in a month I'll lose 3 pounds. And it's so frustrating. And you know, you hear these stories all the time. And when I was younger, of course, I was always told, lose the weight now, it gets so much harder when you get older.
Yep.
And it's true. But you just have to sort of be in your reality. Okay, so this is my reality. It doesn't mean I should just not do it. Because we all know, if you're not trying to be healthy, if you're not watching that, then you're just going to continue to gain weight. It's not like I'm just going to stay where I am.
Right. I think that's such a good point. Be in your reality. Because I went through the same thing. It used to be, oh, these pants are getting a little tight, I'll just cut down, and in a week, things were cool. No longer the case. And that's been a struggle not to be frustrated. And I have to remember, this is what it is. Right. I'm the age that I'm at, the hormones are doing what they're doing. Yep. It's going to be a little tougher, and just don't beat yourself up. You're literally, there's not one cell in your body that's the same as when you were in your 20s, your 30s, you know, so you're a different body.
True.
And just accept that.
That's very true. You know, and underlying all of it, remember, what you're doing is good for you.
Yeah.
Not having the potato chips is not punishing you because you're a bad person. That's not the point. Not having the potato chips is because they're going to cause inflammation in your body, and the oils and the potato that the potatoes were cooked in is not good for you. And who knows, maybe they give you headaches, whatever the case may be. Now, does that mean I'm never going to eat them again? No, that it doesn't mean that. But I don't have to eat them every day.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love, you know, for people to, you know, let us know your feedback and some of the promises that you've struggled with for yourself. I mean, obviously for Deb and I, food's a big one, exercise, keeping on with meditation. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that have the same struggles, but I'd be interested to know, number one, what are some of the other struggles? And as Deb mentioned before, if you really haven't had these issues, what do you do to keep yourself on track?
Yeah, I'd love to know that. I would love to know that.
It's definitely a work in progress for me.
Another tip that I just sort of know that it has worked for me in the past is, whatever it is that the promise is, keep it visible. And by that, I mean, you know, you can just write a note and stick it on your mirror. I mean, it can just be, you know, as blatant as that, or reminders on your phone or whatever. But some of the things that work for me are sort of creating special environments, like for meditating. If there's a special pillow that you like to sit on when you meditate, leave it like in your way so that it's right there and you see it. Or if there's a special smell that helps you, have the bottle of, you know, lavender scent right next to where you're going to meditate, or spray it to get yourself in the mood to go meditate. Or, you know, whatever works for you, but just have it. And, you know, and of course, the whole eating thing, prepare your food ahead of time. I mean, everyone's heard that one. I've been hearing that since I was a child. But be prepared. Have it physically in your face, so that when you go to reach for something, you're reaching for whatever that is, the salad, the carrots, instead of the cookies, or not even have the cookies there.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm also big on visualizing who you want to be. Oh. Who is that person you want to be?
Absolutely.
And picturing that every day. And how would that person act? And how would they react to things? And sometimes what I do is I'll make little notes to myself, you know, smiley face, hello, beautiful. Aww. I'll hide them everywhere. And then I forget that I hid them and, you know, find them out of the blue. And it just, for me, especially because I'm on my own and I don't have that, you know, every day someone telling me that, you know, hey, I'll tell myself, no harm in that.
No, I think that's great. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And then to me, it's not from an ego place. It's from a loving place. So as long as you're doing it for that reason, I think it works well.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And then just, you know, remind yourself every day that this is for your best self.
Right.
And there'll be, you know, harder days and easier days, and don't beat yourself up for the hard one, and kind of pat yourself on the back when it's all working, and just continue, just go with it. Just keep going.
Absolutely. Yep. I love it.
You know, I'm going to practice what we preach, so to speak.
Yes, let's do that.
Yes, I'm going to meditate every night before bed so that I sleep well.
Yeah, I'm going to meditate in the morning and do my visualization in the morning before I start on anything else.
Excellent. So we'll keep each other accountable.
We say that. Well, we need to. Yeah.
Well, everyone out there can keep us accountable. Check in with us. Ask us if we're, you know, if we're on track.
There you go.
I know some people like to, you know, write down, keep journals or keep calendars. I find that that's just one more thing to do.
I agree.
That frustrates me, but I know that it works for a lot of people to do that so that they have sort of a timeline or written documentation of their progress. And if that's something that works for you, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's a real sort of reminder. It's right there, and it shows you that you know you're sticking with your commitment.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, that for 2019, that it's going to be really working on that and honoring myself and keeping my promises to myself. And I hope this has been helpful for the listeners. As Deb mentioned, I'm sure a lot of you have gone through the same thing. And I hope you've gotten some value out of this and hopefully some laughs.
Yes. Laughter is a huge motivator.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So thanks everybody for listening. Again, if you have any feedback, questions, contact us at ask@thedivinebreadcrumb.com. And the podcast is available on the website, iTunes, Spotify, and what's the other one, Carol?
Google Play.
Google Play. Sorry, Google Play. Didn't mean to forget you. So any other thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I think this has been good. And just so you guys know, Deb and I are going to do this every once in a while where we're just going to pick a topic and start discussing. But we would love for you to send in ideas. If there's things you'd like for us to talk about, we are more than happy to do that. In fact, we'd really love that.
Absolutely. You know, our questions, we'd love to do a question and answer episode. So if you have questions about things, send them along.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, the questions and answers. Sorry, I got distracted. One of my cats jumped on my lap, but yes. So yeah, questions that we can, read on air, so to speak. Yes. I think that'll be really fun.
I think that would be a blast. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we will chat with you all soon. Have a great day.
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.